Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning. How you guys doing? You know, my wife and I were talking. It's funny. On Mother's Day, we're packed out. Because one of the things moms want is moms want their kids to go to church with them and their husbands. So everybody comes. On Father's Day, though, it's like fathers go, I want to sleep in. And so it's like you're light on. It's just funny, the spiritual temperature of a husband and a wife. What does that say? Don't know about that. Yeah. I'm not judging. If any of you are like, I would rather, I wouldn't mind sleeping in. I'm not going to lie. Sleeping in is always nice. So, but good morning. How are you guys doing? Anybody into the World Cup watching that? Anybody be sad if I told you who won or lost the game this morning? Don't even, Tony. My team, Germany, lost this morning. I know, right? They're not supposed to. Go Mexico. Whatever. Tony, you're not even. You're. Doesn't count. I think you can vote for either. You can root for either Korea, South Korea, or America, right? Yeah, we didn't make it. It's terrible. But hey, if you are a dad or anybody and you didn't get a dad's root beer when you came in this morning, make sure you grab one when you leave today because we got a few left. It's crazy how many are gone. Make sure you don't get stung by bees as you're outside as well because that would be terrible for you. I'm excited about this new series. We got a new series we're starting today. I've just been struggling. Like, what? I've known I wanted to do the book of Ephesians over the summer. I've known I wanted to do that because over the summer I like to pick a book and just sort of go a little deeper into it. And so I knew I wanted to do Ephesians, but I'm like, what? And so I'm like trying to figure out what's the main theme. Ephesians is one of those books that doesn't really have a main theme. Some books have like a thesis statement in them. Ephesians doesn't. Ephesians has multiple places where Paul is taking us. So sort of on this journey of what does a Christian life look like. So I'm writing down all these things and what do I want to title it. And so I was texting a buddy of mine and I got my wife and we're all like, I have this list of ideas. And then I can't remember how I even came up with this, but I started noticing this word that was being repeated, this word purpose and this word plan, all throughout the book of Ephesians, multiple times. And so then I just thought, you know, living life on purpose for a purpose. Because I think many of us, we don't live life on purpose. We just sort of live life and we just sort of go throughout life. And we don't really have a plan for what we're going to do. I just finished this book called Visioneering by a guy named Andy Stanley. And in the book, he says, you don't want to wake up one morning realizing you spent your life instead of investing it. And that really hit me. Like, how many of us, we spend our life, but we're not investing our life? We're not investing in moments with people. We're not investing in moments with our kids or with whatever we're doing. We're not investing it. We're just sort of spending our life. We get up, we just sort of do with no purpose, with no plan. I plan on building a shed in my backyard. My wife and I recently redid our backyard, so part of the plan was to tear down the old shed I had, which was a plastic shed that I bought on Craigslist, and the door was broken. It needed a new one. And so I sold that on OfferUp for $100, and I'm like, I'm going to build myself a nice shed. So that's my plan. That's what I'm going to do. So I called a buddy of mine, and I'm like, hey, Bill, will you help me build my shed? He goes, well, do you have plans? I go, yeah, I have plans. I have plans to build a shed, 4 walls, a floor, and a door. No, he goes, no, do you have plans, like actual plans? What do you need plans for? I'm like, you get a wood floor. I know I want it to be 6 feet wide, 8 feet deep, and somewhere between like 7 and 8 feet tall enough where I can walk in it. What else do you need? It's a shed. He goes, well, you got to have plans or it's not going to turn out. I'm like, okay. So I started Googling plans, and then I bought plans. And so I bought these plans for the shed that I'm going to build. Put them in a binder. Not that shed. That would be nice, right? Mine's more like that. Yeah, I would love that other shed. My backyard, that other shed I think is bigger than my house. So I bought these plans for the shed, and the first page, it says, how to build a shed. Now, some of you are like, what do you need plans for? I wouldn't need plants. Well, my question then to you is, one, what is your line of work? Because more than likely, the reason why you don't need plants is probably because you've already built one before. So you know how it's done. Like, I know how to put a message together. If I were to throw, say, hey, why don't you put a message and teach it on Sunday morning? You're like, how do you do that? Well, you need to have a plan. What are you going to do? Well, I don't, what, do you do? I know how to do it, so I know how that plan works. And so I bought this plan. You know what's crazy is it tells me how many pieces of everything I need. But at the end, you know what I'm going to build? A shed. I'm not going to build a birdhouse. I'm not going to build a car. I'm not going to build a plane. I'm going to build a shed. But you know what this plan, these plans have for me? Has options. Do you want it to have two doors or one? Do you want it to have a pitched roof or a slanted roof? It gives me options on what the shed might look like God's plan for our life. God's plan for your life is that you would become a godly man or godly woman that would live a life for him. God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life is that you would realize that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that he desires to make you holy and blameless. But sometimes what we mix up in God's plan for our life is, God, do you want me to have this job or this job? The real question is, God says whatever job you want, but what you have to say is, okay, God, do you want me to be the drug dealer on my corner, or do you want me to work at Fry's grocery store? That's a no-brainer. Of course, this is the no job. This is not what you're called to be. You're called to maybe be here. But we mix it up sometimes, making it way more confusing when God says, do you want a double door or a single door? Because you are my desires. I want to give you the desires of your heart. When the desires of your heart match up with God, it's so much easier to do what you want. There's so much freedom in living a life for the Lord when your heart is to please the Lord with your life. Do you get that? There's so much freedom in that. But we get so convoluted in thinking that it's either this door or this door when God says, I just want you to go that way. Go that way. And there's freedom in choices. Which restaurant should I go to? What do you feel like today, Mexican or pizza? I feel like Mexican. Then go get Mexican. I don't think you need to pray about it. Just pray before you eat it. Thank me for it. See, that's this plan. So as I was putting this idea together and seeing how God has this plan outlined for our life throughout this book of Ephesians. So here's what the word plan means. Plan means a detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. God has that plan. He wants to achieve something through your life. Purpose means to reason for which something is, the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. You see, God has a purpose for your life. He has created you for a reason, and you exist for a purpose. And we're going to look at that as we study and look at this book of Ephesians over the next few weeks. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for today. God, thank you so much that you have a plan and a purpose for our life. God, thank you so much that you have a good plan, that you desire to do good things through us. And Lord, I pray, God, that today that we would see what you have, God, that our eyes and our ears would be open to your heart for us. God, I thank you that you are a good God who has good plans for us. And Lord, I ask, God, that you would speak to us this morning. God, that you'd speak to your people that are in churches all over the valley, Lord. I thank you so much, God, that we are one of many. And so, Lord, I lift up those churches today, whether people are at Calvary Community. Lord, I lift up even Marcus. He had surgery this week. Lord, heal him quickly. Lord, I lift up Andrew over at Cross Church. God, bless him as he speaks this morning. And Jackie, Lord, at Cross Church and Surprise. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that we are part of a family of believers. It's not about one building. It's about one church, and that church is you. It's about us and what you want to do through us, God. Lord, I thank you, God. Bless us here at City View in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 9. We're going to start and look at the plan God has, and we're going to go into earlier in Ephesians chapter 1 and see how God outlines that plan and see what that plan looks like. So picking it up in verse 9, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine. You can use your smartphone. Go to the YouVersion Bible app, and on the far right, on the bottom, there's a little three little lines that say, and it says more. You click on events, and you'll see City View is one of the events there. Or you can look here on the screen. And could I have my water? I feel like I'm about to die. I'm parched. Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, sweetheart. Verse 9. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, not us, well, I mean, he's writing to the Jewish people here. We Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saved you. And when you believe in Christ, he identifies you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. God's plan, which is no longer a secret. I like to keep secrets for my kids. I like to keep little things like plans of what I'm going to do. On Friday, I had bought a Groupon. Who loves Groupons in here? I mean, I love Groupons. And there's a Groupon for Brunswick Bowling, so I took my kids bowling. And bowling's fun. I mean, with a five-year-old, it's sort of you are scared because they sort of it's the first time that a kid learns how to shot put is at a bowling alley. And you just fear for the floor. And we had like this professional 10-year-old bowler next to us. Who Ezra was getting in the way of. I'm like, dude, he's 5, and you're 10, and you're really into bowling. and that's cool and all. Nothing against that. But so I took my kids bowling, and I told my boys in the beginning of the day, I said, boys, I have a plan for today, and it's a good plan for today. Do you want to know what it is? Some of my boys, Judah loves a good secret. He loves the anticipation of what a secret looks like. I love a secret, but I also love to tell my kids what the secret is. See, all throughout the Old Testament, God had this secret, this mystery. But all throughout the Old Testament, he was giving hints to what this mystery was. The thing is, he just couldn't totally reveal it or open it to everybody. But it says that there, it says that God now, this mystery is no longer, that God has now revealed this mystery. So there's 6 things that I pulled out about this mystery, this plan that God has for us. Number one, it's that God's plan and God's purpose is a good one. He says that right there in verse 9, that God's plan and God's purpose is a good plan. It's not a bad plan. See, some of us, when we go through hard times in life, we forget that God's plan for your life is a good plan. So when bad things happen, when things don't go as we planned, when things don't go as we thought they should, we start thinking, God, are you still a good God? God, do you know what you're doing? God, have you forgotten? But you see, God at the beginning says, I have a good plan. And that good plan isn't just Christ, but it's a good plan for your life as well. It's a plan that God desires to execute through you. We don't know what it looks like. Each day is a step into what God's plan has for us. It's whether or not we're willing to walk into it. The second thing I see is that it has a specific time to be revealed. God's plan and God's purpose. He was waiting for a specific time to share it with all people. God, like us, has a time to reveal something, and that's what God did. He wanted to wait for a specific time. The third thing I found is that God will make sure that his plan will happen. Nothing is going to ever get in the way of God accomplishing what he wants. Nothing. Nothing you do, nothing I do will ever get in the way. Nothing mankind does, nothing a president does, nothing some other country does. Nothing will get in the way of God accomplishing his plan and his purpose for mankind. And we're going to find out what that plan and what that purpose is as we continue to look at this book of Ephesians, specifically chapter 1 today. part of God's plan is that he would use the Jewish people to bring praise and glory to his name. Why one people? Why would God use one people to bring praise and glory? Why would God only pick the Jewish people? Well, God's plan from the beginning was to use such a small, insignificant people to show how amazingly loving he is. See, if he would have picked like the Egyptians or the Sumerians or one of these conquering nations that were so big, it could have been seen like, well, they could have done that on their own. Like you look at sort of the NBA finals this year. You look at how amazing the Golden State Warriors are. Whether you like basketball or not, whether you like the Warriors or not, they're an amazing team. So you look and you just sort of assumed they're going to win because they have everything. They have a great starting five, and they have a bench that could probably beat most teams as well. So you look going, and God's like, well, I want to use a team. I want to use a people that's so insignificant that people look going, the only way you are the way you are is because God wants to do something through you. And so that's why God picked this people, so that we can look at our life going, you know what, God could use, if God could use the people of Israel, God could use me. Because what do I have? I know what I've done. I know the kind of life I've lived. And if God could use an insignificant people, that God says, the whole plan for me to use you, Israel, is I want to use you to tell the entire world about me. Isaiah, chapter 40 or 41, I can't remember exactly where it is. Isaiah, God says to the people of Israel, I want you to be a light to the nations. A light to the nations. The problem is they sort of messed up. They weren't exactly the best example. How many of us have ever not been the best example of our Christian faith? I was at the bank the other day, and this guy who was in front of me, he's something about his bank account. He goes, I'm the pastor of this church. I'm like, dude, I wanted to go up and smack him on the back of the head and say, do not make all of us look bad, you little punk. Actually, he was an older man, and I'm like, you're grumpy, and you need to retire. I was offended. I was like, man, now this teller thinks that all of us are like you, and whether or not she'll ever, or he'll, I can't remember who it was, how many of us have ever been a bad example? I know I have. I could judge him, but then there have been days where Pastor Jeremiah has not been the best example, and I am not. There are times where the people of Israel were not the best examples. But what did I say about God's plan? Does anything get in the way of his plan? No. So God still accomplished his plan. And then it says that, so God's plan was that the people of Israel would be the light to the nations. The thing is, you can't stop God's light. God's light will shine whether we want it to or not. The fifth thing that I saw is that the world, that God desires that the world would hear the good news. And it says that right there. It says that in verse 13. And that God has, that the Gentiles, that's anybody who's not a Jew, that they've heard the truth, that they've heard the good news. And the sixth thing is that the Holy Spirit would be given. These are six things that we see about God's plan for us. Now, the thing is, with any plan, like this plan I have for my shed, if I don't have a good foundation for my shed will not stand. I could build great walls, I could build a great ceiling, I could make a great door, but if it doesn't have a great foundation, it will fall apart. It will not stand if even one of my little dogs, I have two little dogs, they're like seriously like this big, they're ankle biters, literally. And if one of them were to jump on my shed without a foundation, it will fall apart. So God's plan without the foundation will fall apart. What is God's foundation? It's Jesus Christ. Everything is built. Jesus says that he is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone that holds it all together. And let's turn now to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. And you're going to see in every verse from verse 2 all the way to verse 7 or 8 that God talks about his son through each verse. It says, may God, our Father, or Paul writes about Jesus each verse, is may God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Because we are united with Christ, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear his son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us our sins. He has showed us his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. This foundation is all about Jesus. Without Jesus as the foundation of your life, no matter how hard you try to live a good life, no matter how hard you try to do good things, no matter how hard you try to do what is right, if Jesus is not your foundation, your world will fall apart. The walls will start crumbling down. World will not look right. Without Jesus as the foundation. And so Paul, as he's writing this book to this church in Ephesus, this church that has everything, this church that is at the epicenter of all culture, this church that is at this place that people travel to be there, to see the sights, to see what they have, to trade there, to do everything that they can there. This church, Paul says, you may think you have everything, but if Jesus is not your foundation, the plan won't work. The plan's not going to happen. And all part of this plan is that we would receive grace and peace. That we would receive the grace of God and the forgiveness of our sins. Because you see, we're all against God at some point in our life. And we need peace. See, for many of us, Father's Day brings about this idea that I don't have a relationship with my father. Maybe some of us have been hurt by our fathers. Maybe some of us, the thought of Father's Day, the only good part is that you married a good man now and that you can celebrate him. But the thought of your father, you think, my father's a loser. My father hurt me. My father never loved me. You see, and some of us, we think, I can't think that because I have a good father. But that is so uncommon in our culture to have a good father. It is so uncommon to have a good dad, to have a good husband. It's more common to have somebody that's not loving, that's not caring, and that's not engaged. You see, so many of us, when we think of a good father, we think, there's no way I could ever have peace. Because thinking of a father means animosity, fighting, hurt, pain. But on the flip side, the thing is, what we brought into the relationship with God was animosity, hurt, pain, and sin. And God says, I want peace with you. I want peace with you. We may never be able to have peace with our earthly father. He may have passed away. It may be something we cannot have. But God says, I want to have peace with you, though. I want to be a father. I want to be the father to you that you've never had. I want to be the father that seeks to give you forgiveness and to offer you peace, a peace that doesn't look like what the world offers, but a peace that will satisfy, a peace that you can wake up knowing that I've got it in control, a peace that lets you know that I have a plan for your life and a purpose for your life. I want to give you peace. And so that's a must when it comes to this foundation that God has, that we would receive grace and peace. And then it says in verse 3, it says, all praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. You see, when we think of spiritual blessings, we think of physical things. Like my kids. My kids think their lives are blessed when they get to play an extra 15 minutes on Fortnite. My kids think their lives are blessed when they get to spend a little extra time swimming or doing something, or when they get to hang out with their friends. Or like my kids right now, they have this friend named Max. And his family just moved to Hawaii. And so their excuse on extra time with Fortnite is, well, Max is online now. Well, it's only 6 p.m. for him. It's 9 p.m. for you. It's time for bed. But that's their excuse. But, Dad, you'd be a good dad if you let me play Fortnite because he just got on. You see, we take this into our own physical lives, into our lives as adults. We think that, well, when I get this house, or when I get this job, or when I get this, that all of a sudden we are blessed. And when those things fall apart, we think God's not blessing us anymore. Now, those things are nice, and those things are good to have. But if we allow our life to revolve around physical blessings, then when those things blow up and when those things don't work, we think God is no longer blessing us. You see, but God's blessings look different than what we think blessings are. And here, God lists off what these blessings are. Verse 4, it says that God's blessings are that he loves us. It says there in verse 4, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us. You are loved by God. Have you thought about that? The creator of all things loves you. The creator of heaven and earth loves you. Have you sat and realized that somebody so big loves somebody like me so small? The first part of the spiritual blessing, it says that God loves you, and it says that he chose you. He picked you on purpose. And what did he choose you for? To be holy and blameless. And I know many of us, we look at our lives going, I'm not that holy and I'm not that blameless. But that's what God wants you to be. You see, I want to make this shed. I want to make a shed that has four walls, a nice door that opens, a window in it so that I can open it up so that the air can come in so it's not all stuffy. I want to make sure there's shelves in it. You see, but it's not right now. Right now, you want to know what I have? I've got those plans, and I've got a spot in my yard for my shed. That's what I've got, but I can see it. What does God see in your life? He sees a life that's going to be holy and blameless. Are you there yet? No, but are you in the process? Yes. He's making you. He's creating you. He loves you. He's chosen you, and he has a plan for you to be holy and blameless. And then it says in verse 5, it says that he adopted you. Adopted. In our life, when we think about adoption, we're like, why is it such a big deal? We have people that have adopted people. We have people that have adopted children. And we've got some people that have been adopted in here themselves. In the Roman times, this idea of adoption is where a man would seek somebody to inherit everything he has. And he would purposefully pick out a child. And it didn't matter if that child had tons of baggage. It didn't matter what that child had. It didn't matter if that child carried the debt of his family. It didn't matter. The dad, the person who was planning on adopting, said, I want to take you and I will pay off every debt you have. So when Paul would write about adoption, he would think about a father who would purposefully pick a child to adopt. And the crazy thing about this adoption, it says in verse 5, it says, and God decided in advance to adopt you, picked you before you were born, knowing everything about you, knowing the kind of life you were going to live, knowing the kind of things you were going to do, knowing all of that, knowing what your past is going to be, even in the present. God picked you. And it says, God decided in advance to adopt you into his own family, to bring you to himself, that is what he wanted to do, and it gave him good pleasure. Have you thought about that God wanted you and that you bring God good pleasure? Yesterday, my son helped me with yard work, and it was a pain in the butt. It was trying to find drip lines that are broken, and you know, it's a pain. And my oldest son wanted to help. He could have been playing Fortnite with his brother. I mean, that's their game right now. Could have been watching a movie. Could have been. I told him, I said, dude, you've helped enough. You mowed the lawn. You did what you needed to do. But you can, if you want to go play, you can do it. He goes, no, Dad, I want to help. The pleasure that brought to my heart God says, Jeremiah, you give me that pleasure. Actually, it says, Jeremiah, before you even did anything, in the middle of your hot mess, it brought me pleasure knowing you were going to be my child. You ever think about that? When you're in your worst moment, when you're doing whatever, when you're trying to figure out, am I of value? God says, you know what? I picked you because you are the most valuable to me. And it says that in verse 7, it says that God purchased you. See, we don't realize that there's a ransom out for us. There's so many movies out about ransoms. But what are the people typically trying to do when there's a ransom for their child that's been kidnapped? They're trying to figure out a way of not only getting their child back, but making sure they don't have to pay the ransom. And so you send in Denzel, who's going to go in, get the child back, kill the bad guys, and not have to pay anything, so you still have your money. That's the plan in the movies, right? But God went into this knowing he was going to lose everything to pay your ransom.
God went in knowing it was a no-win deal for him, except you were his win. He knew my son's going to have to die. It wasn't like, okay, you know what? What if my son just had to get beat up a bit? What if my son just had to wear the crown of thorns? What if, could we do the bare minimum so he doesn't have to hurt too much? Could he care? Could he bear just like half of your sins? No, the sins of the world had to be poured onto him. God purchased you, and it cost him everything. But what it did for you is it offered you freedom. A freedom that so many of us have been stuck in bondage of the life we lived, and we don't realize that God has set us free from the things that we've done. That God wants to give us this life of freedom and forgiveness. And it says that this grace that God offers us, this grace that God offers us, it says there, it says that God pours it out on us. It says, the word in the New American, it says that God lavishes it upon us. The idea of that word, oh goodness. The idea of that word is not just a pouring that we might have a little bit more grace. Because some of us, isn't that what we do with the grace that we offer people in our lives? We give them just enough. Like, you know what, I'll forgive them. I mean, it hurt, but I'll forgive them. No, it says that when it says there in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that God's grace says he poured it on us. He lavished it on us. It's this idea of this overflowing grace that doesn't stop for you. So what is God's plan for your life? What is God's purpose? It's that he chose you. It's that he adopted you. It's that he loves you. It's that he wants to offer you freedom and forgiveness. And it's that he wants to pour his grace and his mercy upon you. A grace that never runs out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Your grace that never runs out. Lord, I ask, God, that you would meet us right here. For those of us who we need, we've been hurt. We don't know what it's like to be loved by a father. And maybe we're just hurting today. We've got stuff going on. And Lord, I ask, God, that you'd meet us here. Pour your grace upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.